and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy, page 224. And we read a Deuteronomy 32, beginning at verse 36. The Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants. When He sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free, then He will say, "Where are their gods? The rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering. Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Philippians chapter 2, found on page 1256. And we read Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, page 1151 in your pew Bibles, and we read John 12, beginning at verse 9. "When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of Him, but also to see Lazarus, whom He had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Him, crying, 'Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your King is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done these things. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the events of Palm Sunday, in particular these words from John. "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." In the history of the world, I don't think there is a single week that has more contrast to it than this particular week. The excitement, the thrill of watching Jesus march into Jerusalem. And it's not just the Jews that are taking notice. The gospel lesson for today closed with that note about the Greeks who came to see Jesus. It is like the whole world is going after him. And the Pharisees say exactly that. And it's at this point in the ministry of Jesus, and if you follow the whole Gospel of John, you'll hear Jesus saying again and again, "My hour has not yet come, my hour has not yet come, my hour has not yet come." And in verse 23, he says, "The hour has come." Thus, the good side, if you will, of Passion Week. And we all know how quickly it changed. As we approach Good Friday, and from the crowds we hear those words shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him. His blood be upon us and our children." As Jesus is being crucified, it seems like the whole world, which was praising him, is now turned. And even the two, as we call them, thieves on the cross, as they're crucified with Jesus, at least begin the day joining in with the crowds, cursing him, mocking him, which always seemed rather strange to me. You know, I can understand if you're being crucified, being angry at the world. I can understand you pitying the people next to you. But why do they seem to be angry at Jesus? Though most Bibles commonly translate the identity of these men as simply the thieves on the cross, the Greek language used particularly there might give us some clue, because it's not the normal word used elsewhere in the New Testament for a thief. And in point of fact, as we understand ancient history, simply stealing wasn't a crucifiable offense. Now, crucifixion was so horrible that one of the privileges of Roman citizenship was that no matter what crime you ever committed, you couldn't be killed that way. In fact, the Romans usually didn't handle, if you will, normal policing activity. So what is it about these two individuals who we call simply the thieves on the cross that got them crucified? And why aren't they identified with the same Greek word that usually in the rest of the New Testament you see used for someone who's a thief? When you research the word a little more deeply, it appears that this Greek word, in the Greek it's lestes, was not used in the ancient world for a mere thief. It might be better translated as marauder. You know, somebody who might kill, who might steal, but he could be doing it from, if you will, a military point of view. And in point of fact, we do see the word used that way in a later time, a few 30 years after Jesus, for people who led the revolt against Rome. We know from the account of Barabbas, the guy that was freed in place of Jesus, that there had been an insurrection that very week. Barabbas had been captured. Some people had been killed. He was apparently a leader of a revolt. Why was there a revolt? What was going on? Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. We can't prove it, but it's not unlikely that these men being crucified with Jesus were part of that revolt that Barabbas was leading. This Jesus, whom they had hoped to be at the head of the uprising, had no interest in being that kind of king. He busied himself with teaching in the temple, and even when his disciples tried to resist his arrest, he told them, "Put your swords away." What kind of king is this? You know, from the point of view of those two thieves, the failure of Jesus to inspire the crowds to join with them, they might have felt they were hanging on that cross precisely because Jesus did nothing. And if you're hanging on the cross and you think it's Jesus' fault, you'd probably be mad at him too. You'd find it easy to join in that cursing and that mockery. That's the kind of king that Jesus came to be. And yet, don't we sometimes wish Jesus were a different king? Has there never been a time in your life when the God that he is and the Savior that he is not what you wanted him to be? The world is full of unfairness and tragedy and suffering and pain. Maybe it was a time when a child you knew died. or some other tragedy affected a family you know, maybe your own, and you go to church regularly, and you've tried to be faithful to God all your life, and you cast your eyes up into the air. Why, God? Why'd you let this happen? What kind of God are you anyway? You're at work. You do your job well. And there's this economic downturn. And you're one of the first ones laid off. Or you've been trying to, if you will, move up the scale. You work hard. You can run circles around some of the other employees, but this guy over here, he's a buddy of the boss. And he gets the promotion ahead of you. Time and time again. Life just seems unfair. The things you think you deserve, you don't get. And the things that you don't deserve, those are the things that keep happening in your life. Is there one amongst us who at some point in life has not turned to God and said, why? Has not thought, what kind of God are you? But here's the truth. Jesus didn't come into this world to fix it. He didn't come into this world to make it a better place. He didn't come to resolve all the unfairnesses, all the suffering, all the tragedies. He wasn't that kind of king. He had one thing to do when he came into this world. And that was to pay the price for our sins. That's all. This world and everything in it is going to be judged and destroyed. And if we are going to survive that time, we need the kind of Savior that Jesus was. The world wants some kind of other Savior. They want God to do more than that, but this is what He has done. As Jesus is dying, one of the thieves just continues to curse Him and to mock Him. But at some point in time, one of the other thieves recognizes something. He recognizes, first of all, his own sinfulness. An odd thing to hear someone say when they're being crucified, but he confesses, or we are getting what we deserve. But he goes on to note, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he recognizes Jesus for the King He was and is and always will be. And though he has no reason to ask, he cries out to Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. That's what this week is about. We do join with the crowds to sing praises to God for the coming of our King. But God grant that we never forget what kind of King He is and what kind of King He is not. As we live in this world, there are going to be trials and troubles and injustices and unfairness. It's not that God is trying to punish us more. No, Christ has already taken the punishment for our sins upon Himself. But it's also not that God has abandoned us. He does promise to be with us and help us to endure this world. But our salvation is not to be found here, not in this kingdom. God help us remember that as we celebrate the King of Israel, that we always remember that it is the King of the world to come that we must most deeply celebrate. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.